Blog Talk Radio.
Your man Dwayne Abernathy, and you're listening to Moving Forward here on YaiserRadio.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is March the 6th, 2014. Another live broadcast moving forward here on YaiserRadio.com. I am actually broadcasting live from Richmond, Virginia. I'm actually still on the road of I may or may not be broadcasting Sunday night back in the ATL, or I might be in New York City. There's a good chance I'll be in New York City, so I think like Sunday's broadcast will be from New York City. Once again, like I said, today is February 6, 2014. Another live show tonight, and tonight's show, is once again, we're going to talk about a topic that I feel that needs to be discussed in our community. Now, let me give you guys a little backstory, a little history of this show moving forward. If this is your first time listening to this show, let me give you guys a quick run through to let you know what this show is all about. What I do here at Yaiser Radio and then also at Yaiser, our whole goal is to build consciousness in our community. The radio show, the whole purpose is for us to discuss and talk about topics that for some reason are not discussed in our community. But the good thing about us here at Yaiser Radio, our goal is not to talk about the problem. Our purpose is to bring up a topic and then give solutions and move our people forward. Okay? So that's what we do here at Yaiser.com, which is our social network. When you get a chance, log on as YIZZOR. And then also here at YaiserRadio.com. Give you guys a perfect example. The other night, Sunday's show was about the N-word. And we went in. We went all the way in on the N-word, you know, and I hope that we have touched someone to bring up their consciousness on the use of that word, understand the history of that word, and also teach their fellow brother and sister about that word, okay? But before we get into tonight's show, I'm going to have a quick rant because I finally sat down and watched that damn movie, 12 years a slave. I'm going to tell you guys what I think about that so-called Academy Award movie of the year, 12 Years a Slave. So when I take a break, when I get back, I'm going to talk about this darn 12 Years a Slave, and then we're going to get into tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is something that I wonder why more people don't talk about this topic, because this is a question that has baffled me for, I would say, the past 8 years. And I'm telling you, I don't understand what's going on in our community. And it looks like that the powers that be are trying to change our black boys and our black men into women. So we're going to talk about this whole feminization of the black male, because it's out of hand and someone needs to talk about it. And then I hope that somebody can give me some solution of what this is all about. So I'm going to take a break. And this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com.
What you say now? Tell me what you say, come again. If you cannot stay down, then you do not have to pretend like there is no way out. I should have never let you in, cause you got me face down. Don't take this personal. That you would come again. You said that we would remain friends, but you know that I do not depend on nothing or no one. So why would you show up so uninvited and change my mind like that? Please don't take this personal. But you ain't special till I make so. You better act like you know that I've been through worse than you.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2└. 2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YISER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YISER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
What's up, what's up, what's up, my people? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you're listening to Moving Forward here on YISERRadio.com. Let's get into this 7 years of play. This is my opinion on the movie. I tried so hard to not watch this movie. I should have stuck with my guns and didn't waste 2 hours of my life watching this movie. Okay, y'all, prepare yourself. I'm going in. I'm about to go in now. I hate this movie. I hate the fact that this movie won an Academy Award of Movie of the Year. There was nothing about this movie that I feel should have been made. This movie is the first horrible movie I've ever seen, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm not trying to tell my people to detach and forget about what happened to us in slavery. But we did not need another slave movie that pretty much accomplished nothing. This whole story was pretty much a free African American was trapped, was tricked into slavery. He was enslaved for 12 years. Okay. In those 12 years of slavery, he eventually got his freedom back, but no one was prosecuted. No one was punished. He didn't get severance pay, I guess, from the United States government. It's pretty much like, we took 2 years of your life, big deal, now you're going to spend the rest of your life being bitter what we did to you. The only message in that movie was this. This message pretty much was about white people and the evils that they portrayed or did during slavery. But there was like no remorse to the story. There was no closure in this story. There was nothing about this damn story that made this story win no freaking Academy Award. And then for them to give another African, well, she wasn't African American, she was an African woman, to win another Academy Award to get raped and beat throughout a whole damn movie. My question is, where's our Nat Turner stories at? Where's the stories about Nat Turner? Where's the stories about Marcus Garvey? We don't need no more damn slave movies, and we need to quit supporting these damn slave movies. And I'm going to tell you one other thing that I learned about from this movie. This movie confirmed to me that there is definitely three groups of black people in this country. And I'm going to tell you what these three groups are. And it's so crazy. This movie did kind of touch on that. Okay. The first group is a group that I talked about the other day. The N-words. There's a group of us out there that are straight up N-words. We have the slave mentality. And there's nothing that you could do. There's nothing you could teach me. There's no level of consciousness that would help you understand and get out of that slave mentality. Okay. Our next group of black people in this country is the Uncle Tom Negroes out there who believe that white is right, that the white man has the right answer for everything. You know, they're not trying to buck against the system. They're not trying to think for themselves or whatever. Their whole thing is like, you know what? I want to be as European as I can. The third group of black people in this country is the true African Americans who are trying hard to fight against all these different, oppressive systems, trying to fight against all these dealing with black people who have slave mentalities, but African Americans who are willing to die for what they believe in if it's going to save our people. Perfect example. In that movie, they showed a couple guys getting hung. Those are African Americans. They was like, look, we ain't living here, no slaves. We run away. We getting out of here. There was a guy in the beginning of the movie. He got stabbed because he grabbed onto a white man that tried to stop him from raping a sister. That's an African American. Then you had some N-words. N-words is pretty much, look, I like being a slave. I'm going to do what I'm told. Do what you want to do to me. Whatever. And then you got your Uncle Toms. The dude, the main character in this movie was one of those Uncle Toms. Because he was just like, you know what? I'm going to do what Master tell me to do until I get my freedom. That's my conclusion to this movie. This movie was horrible. And the crazy part about it, I had conversation with other black people. And I had a conversation with all three of those people. I had a conversation with somebody who was like the editor. I had a conversation with a black person who's more like the, you know, the house Negro. And then I had a conversation with some conscious brothers. But this is it. This is what I have decided to do with Yizer and Yizer.com. Because at the end of the day, at the end of my whole purpose of my life and all the people that I deal with is we're trying to move our people forward. So in order for us to move our people forward, I am going to have to be able to reach all three levels of black people in this country. So, you know, sometimes you guys listen to this show or sometimes you're going to see some stuff on Yizer. I'm going to have to put things in some words and some context to reach my brothers and sisters out there who still have that slave mentality. I'm going to have to talk their language. So I'm going to let you guys know that ahead of time. At the same time, I'm going to have to talk African-American brothers and sisters who, you know, live in a house with Massa. I'm going to have to work on their consciousness too. But then also the brothers and sisters who are starting to accept their consciousness and who are working every day to achieve their consciousness as an African-American in this country, I'm going to communicate with you also. So after that movie, that's what I learned from that movie, that I am going to have to be able to reach all three types of black Americans in this country. And if you did not know there's three types of black people in this country, you know now. Well, anyway, this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward, and I'm done talking about 12 Years a Slave, and I don't want to see no damn slave movies. I'm ready to see the Nat Turner movie. I'm ready to see the Marcus Garvey movie. I'm ready to see a black movie that we wasn't just, oh, it's like slave. What's this movie? It was a tragedy. Yes, there was a whole lot of us. But this movie right here, there was nothing about this movie that made me say, yes, that should win an Academy Award. I mean, to sit there and watch another sister getting raped by her slave master, that, ooh, I almost cussed. That is not no Academy Award performance to show that you can play the role of a good-ass slave. I'm taking a break. This is your man, Abernathy. Listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com, and then we're going to get into tonight's topic because I'm trying to figure out what's making all of my black men and our black boys soft in this world. I'll be back in a second.
What else the dollar you murder for? Is that the one fighting for your soul? Or your brother's the one that you're running from? But if you got money, forget the number one.
B.I.G. Oh God.
Whoa. Okay, ain't nobody f***ing with my click. Click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mug. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click. Click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the, they want the, they B.I.G.
Oh God. Tell a bad bitch, do whatever I say. My block behind me like I'm coming out the driveway. It's grind day from Friday to next Friday. I've been up straight for 9 days, I need a spy day. Yep. She try and give me that Wu-Tang, I might let my crew bang. My crew deep in that Wu-Tang, I'm rolling with her. Girl, you know my crew name, you know 2 Chainz. I'm pulling up in that Bruce Wayne, but I'm the feeling, man, they kneeling when I'm walking in the building. Freaky women, I be feeling from the bank accounts, I'm feeling. What a feeling, aw, man, they gotta feel. Young player from the D, that's killing everything that he see for the go.
Click, click, click,
oh God.
Click, click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mama. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click. Click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the, they want the, they want
the. Click, clap, pick them up. Yeah, I'm gone. talking big, and now I'm talking me. Yeah, I'm talking bossy, I ain't talking Khalees. Your money too short, you can't be talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking LeBron, we ballin' our family tree. Good music, drug dealing, cousin, ain't nothing with we. Me, turn that 62 to 125, 125 to a 250. 250 to a half a man, ain't nothing nobody could do with me. Now who with me? Domino's, call me Hobo Hefe. Translation, I'm his, least that's what my neck say. Least that's what my check say. Lost my homie for a decade. Break it down for like 12 years, ain't hugging son since second grade. He never told. Who we gon' tell? We top of the totem pole. It's the dream team, meet the supreme team. And all our eyes tweening only means okay. One thing. You ain't fucking with the click.
Click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mom.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by DamselInDistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let DamselInDistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to DamselInDistress.com and use promo code YISER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210 or log on to DamselInDistress.com and use promo code YISER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YISERRadio.com. Let's get into tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is about the feminization of the black male. So, let me tell you guys ahead of time, before we get into tonight's topic. One, I am not about to bash gay people. If you are gay out there, you know, right now ahead of time, I don't need you calling in, talking bad about gay men, gay black men. I don't need it tonight. But I'm telling you right now, anybody else out there who's listening, if you call in to me tonight talking about you're homophobic because of this topic we about to have, I'm going to let you have it. I'm going all in. Because once again, today's world, today's media has made everybody so afraid to talk about this topic, about how these black boys, these African-American young men are acting like little girls, talking like little girls, they dressing like little girls. It's all over the place. And this is something that I feel that needs to be addressed in our community. Okay, and the crazy part about it is every time somebody get on TV or on the radio and talk about this topic, they're so afraid that they're going to lose something that you're gay bashing. But once again, tonight's conversation is not about gays. So let me make that clear, too. Tonight's conversation is not about gays. Tonight's conversation is about how our young or giving off this vibe of being feminine. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I went to one of my buddies' teen daughter's birthday party a few weeks ago. She's like my, you know, family friend. And when we went to this party, all the boys was on one side, all grouped up together. And then all the girls was just sitting on the other side of the room, just keeping herself busy. I mean, the girls was on the floor dancing together, whatever, keeping herself busy. When I was growing up, we was all on them girls. I mean, we was like, yo, bruh, I can't hang out with more than two homies at a time. It's going to be, when we used to hang out back in the day, if it was three of us, we need to be around six females. Don't do that like that today. That's not natural. I don't care what nobody say. That's not natural for a bunch of boys that have no interest in being around females. And it's not natural for boys, the male species, to walk around and try to be prettier than a female. So that's why we're going to get into this nice topic, because I got a question. And I don't know if anybody's ever asked this question, but do you guys still in a process of a soft genocide? I'm dead serious, because I'm going to put it to you like this. And that frat, I said I wasn't going to say the name anymore, but I got to say it again. 12 Years a Slave pretty much was an example of our first level of genocide since we've been in this country. But that was considered a hard genocide. So let me tell you guys the difference between a soft genocide and a hard genocide. Then I want to compare this with our history since we've been in this country. And I just want you guys to think about it and see, does this make sense? Okay? I'm not trying to sit up there and be a conspiracy theorist. Everything that I talk about tonight is going to be fact. And then I'm also, what I would like for you to do is do your own research on some of these facts I'm going to talk about tonight. Then also think back and just think how things are different. Okay? Now, a hard genocide. Hard genocide is the direct destruction of people through mass murder, the slave trade. They's killing us left and right. Just slaughtering, killing, hanging. Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was a hard genocide. Okay? Right in your face. Okay? Right in your face. Okay? They ended slavery in this country. Just because they ended slavery, do you think that actually ended white supremacy? Do you think that ended racism? When they got rid of slavery, do you think that got rid of the powers that be trying to wipe the world clean of black people, African Americans? If you think that way, guess what you may be? You might be one of those house Negroes that I was talking about, because you are as naive as hell. Because guess what? They continued on with hard genocide all the way up to, I would say, the Civil Rights Movement. Okay? So they had the Civil Rights Movement. A lot of us in our community thought that we had made it. No. No, no, no. They just changed the game on us and got started with the whole soft genocide. Let me tell you a little bit about soft genocide. Soft genocide is the indirect destruction of a people by influencing their culture and thus their behavior. Think about something. Remember when I was telling you guys about the Black Power Movement? Then the United States government was like, no, we can't have this Black Power Movement. We cannot have the Black Power Movement. At the same time, we could not have the self-reliance movement. We can't have that. So what do we need to do? We need to find us some N-words, to work with us. We need to flood their communities with dope. Let our N-words sell our dope. That's an example of soft genocide. Let me give you another example of soft genocide in our community. Planned Parenthood. Abortion. You don't like to talk about it, do you? But the average African-American woman in this country has had at least one abortion. Their son who's had up to three abortions. If you ever pay attention to Planned Parenthood in any city that you go to, and only pretty much in our community, offices are generally in the African-American communities. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that other cultures don't have abortions, but right now I'm talking about my people. And that's what's the problem with some of us. We try to worry about what everybody else is doing. I'm focusing on bringing my people forward. And the examples of soft genocide that they put in place during and after the Civil Rights Movement, because they couldn't go around and continue hanging us by the numbers in public, so they had to find another way to kill us off. Drugs in our community is an example of soft genocide. Abortions at Planned Parenthood is an example of soft genocide in our community. I'll give you another example here. Right here it says right here. For instance, integration was used to destroy the revolutionary spirit of the black community. What was I talking about? You guys remember what I talked about last week when I sit up there and said that what was wrong with having our own? What did I say then? What was wrong with us having our own everything? But guess what? We had what? Integration. Integration what? Was another form of destroying the African-American community. Soft genocide. So just in what, 2 minutes, I just gave you guys three examples of soft genocide that kicked in full speed right after the Civil Rights Movement. We can't hang y'all no more. We can't hang out no more, but we have to create these other forms of genocide to get rid of us. And we let them do it to us. And the reason why we let them do it to us is because we are broken up into three categories. Like I said, we got the N-words, we got the house Negroes, and we have the African Americans. And I'm not saying that we can't win this, but I'm just bringing to the forefront of these different forms of soft genocide. Okay? Another form of soft genocide that goes on in our community is this. The prison system. Prison system has been in place to legally enslave as many African-American men that it can, okay? Which leads us up to our topic tonight. What is one thing that's prevalent, that's dominant in the prison system? The act of homosexuality. If anybody doesn't think that these men are not in there sleeping with each other, you are, guess what? Naive. And you are one of those house Negroes that I was talking about. Okay? But this is the sad part. They're sending our young African-American boys to these prisons for long-term jail time and then send them from juvenile to prisons. And a lot of these young boys are getting turned out in jail, in prison. Now they're confused. Think about something. I'm going to give you an example. I can remember being 14, horny as hell. From 15 to 25, oh boy, I was ready to go. I was trying to get every female I could. If I could get two or three of them at a time, I would be down. So imagine you are male. Well, you are a male with all of this, but you're in a facility with all men. You're going to release that sexual tension. I'm taking a break. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com.
Tell me what you say now. Tell me what you say, come again. If you cannot stay down, then you do not have to pretend like there is no way out. I should've never let you in, 'cause you got me face down.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by DamselInDistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let DamselInDistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210, or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
Because you have to understand, in the tactic of the art of war, when you want to destroy a stronger enemy, you have to get rid of the cultural perspective of authority. So what you do, you have to destroy the man in the society. And that's exactly what they did. I talk about this in my book. You have to destroy the masculine principle, which is the head of the family. That's part of it. The other part is to get rid of the environment and the ways and means for the head or the authority of that family to become and stay the authority and the head of that family, and that is to be the provider and the protector. Take away his means of providing. Take away his means of protecting his family, and he no longer has any rights or any kind of power. So when you have done that, you have now undermined the glue that keeps the family together. Men don't have to be men anymore. So what's the best thing to do? Since you're giving so many favors to women, I might as well be a woman.
If whites are involved in their genetic survival, and they are threatened by black male masculinity, then it will occur, I have to reduce his masculinity. Yeah, we just recently had the president at Morehouse have to say the male students cannot wear high-heeled shoes and dresses and carry purses. So something is happening, again, within the total context of a system of racism, white supremacy. Neely Fuller, who wrote the textbook for victims of racism, a number of years ago, in the late mid-70s, he used to say, in a system, because he was the first person to talk about racism as a system, and he said that as the system of racism and white supremacy moves on, the system is going to have black men wearing dresses. Now, to hear that in the 70s, people said, oh, this is way out. And here we are. You see, there's some black pediatricians who are saying we are developing epidemic levels of the feminization of young black males. Well, I say the pants hanging and sagging down is just a subconscious invitation for homosexuality. You see, it's revealing the buttocks. See, so the pants are getting lower and lower and lower. The next step is to step out of the pants altogether. And so you step out of the pants, you will put on a dress. Your feminization is an essential ingredient of white genetic survival. And the only thing that can prevent it is black people becoming conscious or becoming determined that this is not going to happen to them, because if the black men are destroyed, then the black people are gone, and we have the state of genocide.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on GuysAreRadio.com. Tonight, we are talking about the feminization of the black male, or make a black man a woman. Now, I touched on something before I played that clip. I'm going to talk about that clip in a second, but we are definitely in the midst of a soft genocide in our community. Oh, don't get me wrong. Oh, they're still killing us. Don't get me wrong. They're still killing us. Police is killing us. The George Zimmers of the world are killing us. The Michael Doves of the world are killing us. But tonight, we're going to talk about this whole soft genocide that's going on that nobody talks about. And it's so funny. There are so many different distractions out there that a lot of us are so blinded by the distractions that we're not even realizing what's going on. I'm going to give you a perfect example. There's a TV show that's on TV called Scandal. I'm going to tell you, this show right here is a perfect example where there is no example of an African-American man that has no sense of power for this powerful African-American woman to be a mate with. She has to be the side chick of the president. And I'm going to give you an example. There's two groups of people who hate this show, and there's two groups of people who love this show. Now, you ask yourself this question, because once again, I'm not going to give you the answers. I'm going to just ask you the question. Is this purposely orchestrated to fall this way? The two groups of people who hate this show are, one, white women. White women despise this show. The next group of people who doesn't like this show are African-American men. Heterosexual African-American men. The African-American man who has not been feminized yet from this soft genocide. Who loves this show, which I don't understand and I don't get, is African-American women. And I don't understand. I mean, they be having scandal parties. They be having scandal Facebook pages. They be having scandal this and scandal that. And they sit there watching a perfect example of self-genocide. This is how self-genocide works. The black family. Let's break up the black family. How do we break up the black family? We remove the black man from the household, just like they said in that clip. The black family has always been a source of strength in the black culture. The family support teaches, protects, and holds its members accountable. To officially attack and destroy a people, this family structure must be undone. This has been accomplished by what? Here we go. Civil rights movement. Are you ready? Let's do it. First, start off with slavery first. Tearing husbands from wives and children from their parents doing slavery. Boom. All right. Next thing. Here we go. Here comes the civil rights movement right here. Let's kick it in, 1960. Removing the man from the black household with the new Jim Crow strategy. You hear what I said? New Jim Crow strategy. Not the, oh, no, you can't eat in our restaurants. Oh, no, you can't drink in our fountains. Oh, no, you got to ride in the back of the bus. No, the new Jim Crow strategies. And here they are. Perfect example. Keep the black man out of the house with welfare strategies that reward single-parent households. How many African-American women out there have you heard, I don't need no man. I can do bad on my own. You get what I'm saying? And then if you decide not to get an education, or granted, you did get in a situation that you had to get on public assistance, welfare, or whatever to help take care of you and your children, what's one of the number one rules? No man in the house. No man in the house. You got a black man in your house, he can't be there. We going to take care of you. We going to take care of you, baby. I'm your man now. Uncle Sam's your man now. You don't need no man. No man in the house, or you don't get your benefits. Okay? And I'm going to talk about welfare on another show, because that's another topic for another show on another day, because don't get me wrong, I have no problem with the welfare system. And if anybody out there thinks there's only African Americans on welfare, you are naive, and guess what? You're one of those house Negroes I was telling you about. There's more white people on welfare, but I am a true believer that I think the welfare system should be a temporary boost to get you back going. Okay. Conditioning black children using the public school system to accept the state as the sovereign of their household. Okay. Using welfare to reinforce dispense on the state instead of self-determination. Didn't I just say that? Didn't I just say that? Self-determination as in, you know what, I'm on welfare now, but I only have a year, so I need to get it together in a year. Okay? And infiltrating the black culture with delivering subliminal psychological attacks. Perfect example. Right now, some of the most money-generating movies and plays is the Tyler Perry movies and plays. A big, tall, 6'5", African-American man dressed up like a damn woman, a freaking drag queen. But who do they infiltrate to support all of his freaking drag queen plays? The African-American church. What's the majority of people in the African-American church? African-American women. African-American women bring their sons to these plays as a night out with your church friends. So now you're bringing your son, or telling your son about, or playing the DVDs in your house of Madea, a man dressed up in drag, and this is entertaining. You get what I'm saying? These are the subliminal messages that you're portraying, helping them in this soft genocide to feminize our males in our community. Another perfect example, and we're going to get into this later, and that's the sagging of the pants showing your ass. And I'm going to tell you why I'm getting to this. I'm going to give you guys a perfect example. Day before yesterday, I was driving down the street. And I don't know if you guys, I don't know if I'm being too old school right now, but do you remember they used to say women switch? Like, man, she's switching. She's switching. Switch is like when a woman swings her hips and she's throwing it, right? She's switching, going side to side, right? I was driving down the street the other day. There was these three young brothers walking down the street with their pants sagging. Their pants are sagging so much that you cannot walk. You know, a normal stride, you know, left foot in front of right foot in front of left foot. You can't walk in a normal stride. You got to, like, wobble side to side, swinging your hips like a what? Like a woman, So I'm sitting up here watching these three the street tugging on their pants so they don't fall down, switching like some little chicks. We gonna get into the sagging pants thing before tonight's out, and I'm also gonna give you some solutions. Like I said, I'm just putting out the thought, the topics to think about. I'm just giving you the topics to think about, because I'm gonna tell you, look at the examples since the civil rights movement of the soft genocide that's happened in our community. The economics in our community gone. Soft genocide. A community cannot take care of itself if it doesn't have an economic structure to support it. Okay? Think about it. Look around this country. Look around this country, all the different communities. Everybody have their own. The Asians have their own. The Hispanics have their own. The Jewish people have their own. The Irish have their own. African Americans, they got our stuff. Guess what? Because we were dispersed after the Civil Rights Movement. The welfare given to our community. I'm telling you, just a few weeks ago, I was talking to somebody, a young African-American brother in his early 30s. No children, no wife, has getting on food stamps. Getting on food stamps. A well-eligible young man who can work hard every day receiving food stamps from the government. Soft genocide. And hold on, don't get me wrong. Us brothers, when we talk about men acting like being feminized, there's so many brothers out there who have children and don't man up, want to be father to their kids. They just look at their kids as a bill, child support bill. But this what gets me is the brothers who live off women and call themselves a pimp. They call themselves a pimp. Do you realize that the old definition of a pimp, that they used to say, if you a pimp, you got to do the same thing that your hoes do? So if your hoes is out there sucking other men's penises, you as a pimp have to teach them, so you got to be sucking penises too. You a pimp. You're not a pimp player. You're not a pimp player. So if you're a brother out there who's living off females and call yourself a pimp, trust me, you might be a pimp, but you ain't no man, and you're not an African-American man, okay? All right, now, let's get into this whole process of this soft genocide, of how they are transitioning our young boys into girls, pretty much. I've already talked about, I saw them three boys switching down the street. I've already talked about these brothers out here living off women, calling themselves pimps. I've already talked about the effects of the civil rights movement in our community. But let's get rid of the black man. Let's disperse the black man. Let's get him out the house. Now let's focus on these little boys. Let's focus on these little boys. We cannot have these little boys growing up to be strong black men with their chest out and moving it forward. No, we have to. Much what they say, clip them. We got to clip them early, or just like a dog. You get a dog neutered and spayed when they are puppies. So they are neutering our little young black boys. And let's get into how they're doing it.
Okay, miseducation is essential in order for oppression to really deal with the black male problem that they have here in America. Miseducation has three primary components. Number one, to teach the black boy to hate himself. Number two, to teach the black boy to love white people. And number three, to effeminize and, if possible, homosexualize the black boy. Those are the three main goals of education: teaching of self-hate, teaching of white love, and to effeminize or homosexualize the black male, which means to break his spirit. And one of the reasons why so many of our boys drop out of school is because the way they are treated. I always say there's no such thing as a black male dropout rate. There's only a black male pushout rate. Our boys are pushed out of school by the treatment they get from a predominant female teacher base and a predominantly white female teacher base. You have to understand, public education is the coming together of middle-class white women and poor black boys. Middle-class white women and poor black boys. Two populations that this society, for most of its history, has tried to keep apart. So a white woman generally has a fear and a contempt for the black male. How can you teach someone if you fear him or hate him or is not safe in his company? So if we want to improve the education of black boys, then they're going to have to be taught by black men.
Because all that self-hate, man, is ridiculous stuff that we got out of here.
Exactly. There's basically four types of schools you can have. You can have a religious institution, a public school, a charter school, or a private school. Now, religious schools are the most free of all of those four types I just named. Okay, if you have a religious school, then the oversight by the State Department of Education is minimal because it's religious. They have the most power in terms of educating their own. Public schools and charter schools, which are a form of public schools, constant oversight. Okay? Private schools, which is like what your brother Marcus Klein is doing here in Chicago, that's the best route to go because a private school, for many intents and purposes, is almost like an independent country. You get to set your own laws. That is certain federal and state mandates you have to follow, but you have a lot more control over the day-to-day operation of your school. And I think as a community, we have to look at private schools to properly educate our black boys. There's no way we can leave them in public schools and charter schools and expect them to be the type of men we need them to be. The primary goal of public education is to socialize. The primary goal of education is to socialize. I always say that your son probably can't read, but he knows the Pledge of Allegiance. Can't write his name, but he knows the Star Spangled Banner. Okay, can't do math, but he knows who George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln was, although all three of them were anti-African presidents. So the purpose of public education is to socialize. And that is one of the biggest reasons why we have this great homosexual threat, because now, as a population control measure, they are socializing black children to be lesbian and homosexual as a strategy to reduce the birth rate in the black community. Homosexuality is not being pushed as a cultural revolution. Homosexuality is being pushed as black population control to convince an entire generation of black children to have sex with people of like gender. Why? Because if I can convince black boys to cohabitate with black boys, and if I can convince black girls to cohabitate with black girls, then what do I do to the black population rate, the birth rate? I cut it in half. Same thing with prison. The mass incarceration of black men, which is a function of miseducation, is being done to control the black population rate. When a black male is incarcerated, and when he is incarcerated during his prime years, from about 18 until 38, then what you are also doing is not only incarcerating him, but you are incarcerating the two babies that he would have had had he not been incarcerated.
Oh.
Everything that's done must be viewed as a population control strategy. Everything that's done is population control. Even when you look at the welfare laws that were put into effect in the black community, many of them forced, okay, the woman to separate from the man in order to get certain types of assistance. Everything is about controlling our numbers. So whether it's AIDS, whether it's Ebola, whether it's special ed, whether it's Ritalin, whether it's jail, whether it's homosexuality, everything is about exterminating the black gene. Eugenics means the extermination of the black gene, not the poor black gene or the rich black gene. Not the light-skinned black gene or the dark-skinned black gene. Not the educated black gene or the uneducated black gene. It is about the extermination of all of us, which is why bourgeois, elitist, middle-class Negroes have the wrong idea, because many of them believe that if they accommodate the system will spare them. Yes, the system will spare them until the end because they need them in order to exterminate the masses. But once the masses are exterminated, you can best believe that the elitist clique is next to follow. White supremacy does not put black people in groups. It is for the extermination of all of us.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on GuysAndRadio.com. Okay, that clip. I played that clip because I want to start laying the foundation of how they're focused on feminization of the young black boy or the black male. Because we got rid of daddy. We got rid of daddy. He's gone. He's gone. He's either in prison getting turned out, or we got him out the house, period. We didn't got mama brainwashed. He's gone. Now let's focus on these little boys. Now once again, I'm letting you guys know right now, I'm not bashing the gay people. So if you gay out there, I don't want you to sit up there talking about Dwayne is on the radio tonight bashing us. That's not what I'm doing. I'm bringing the awareness and setting up the alarms in our community that we are in the middle of a soft genocide. And if you look around, it's there. We're right in the middle of it. It ain't something that this is conspiracy theory. This isn't something that's my opinion. It's around us every day, all day, on TV, on the radio. It's all over the place. So now let's talk about the education system. I have some people, some family members who are school teachers. And they actually have to go through classes. They so-called call it sensitivity training because they cannot discourage a young male if he is showing signs of being feminine. So in other words, if you have a little boy, rather take ballet instead of playing on the football team, you have to encourage it. Now, I'm not sitting up here trying to sound like no Neanderthal or nothing like that, or sound like some person who's not attached, I mean, connected with, you know, what's going on in the community. I know that there's gay people out there, but there's a difference between if you were gay and you was born gay and all that stuff, but there's a big difference between pushing a gay agenda and teaching gay lifestyle. Think about it. Hell, we can't even get them to teach real black history in the public schools, so why the hell are we sitting up there getting a line to help them teach gay how to be gay? Perfect example. I'm going to show you how long it's been going on. Because think about it. They working on the public schools. Why? The majority of public schools are filled with who? Black children. Black little boys. Okay. Listen to this right here. Massachusetts, this February 24, 2007, 7 years ago, judge orders gay agenda taught in to Christian children. Okay. Right. That line alone is a contradiction. Okay, and then let me read this to you. You think I'm joking. Look this up. Right here, a federal judge in Massachusetts has ordered the gay agenda taught to Christians who attend public schools in Massachusetts, finding that they need the teachings to be engaged and productive citizens. U.S. District Judge Mark L. Wolf yesterday dismissed a civil rights lawsuit brought by David Parker, ordering that is reasonable. Indeed, that is an obligation for the public schools to teach young children to accept and endorse homosexuality. What in the hell? Pretty much what this is saying, the U.S. government is behind public schools teaching black boys about homosexuality. Why do they need to learn that? Why do they need to learn that? Help me understand. Could somebody help me understand why there's such a big, strong emphasis on teaching African-American boys or public school students on homosexuality? We're confusing the damn kids, because I'm going to tell you one thing. When I took sex education when I was in school, it didn't do nothing made me horny and want to hit every female that I get my hands on. So now imagine your son in school, and they're talking about it's okay to be gay. It's okay to choose. So this week I can sleep with a boy. Next week I can sleep with a girl. And then if you're the parent who doesn't agree with this, they're going to put you as you're homophobic or something. Soft genocide. Soft genocide. Taking a break. This is your man, Dwayne Abernethy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YaiserRadio.com.
I work till I'm half dead, and I hear people saying she's getting old. And what do I get?
I need a little reverb.
A daughter! Who cares as much about the beautiful dresses I give her as she cares about me?
Oh.
Let's do this for these babies. Mercedes, trucks, up, houses on acres. Blakey ballin' on HD. Y'all need to step up your AV. Life changed again, I was already taking off. My flight changed again, flight change wins. It's barely 12 noon and my wife changed again. Baby needs Pampers. Daddy need at least 3 weeks in the Hamptons. Please don't judge me. Only hug the block, I thought my daddy didn't love me. My baby getting chubby. Cue that Stevie Wonder music, oh, isn't she lovely? Now I'm staring at her, praying that things don't get ugly. And I'm stuck in that old cycle, life, wife, please hug me. Oh, joint custody. I need a joint right now, just to sort of loan folks with me. High on life. I could die from the fall, imagine if I hit the floor. Apologies in order, the blue Ivy, my daughter. If it was up to me, you would be with me. Sort of like daddy dearest.
Oh. This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
I dream filthy.
My mom's pops
mix me with Jamaican rum and whiskey. What a send-off. And I know I'm not perfect, baby. I've been so much trauma, gonna be hard to reverse it with some doctors.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
As far as...
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. We are talking about the soft genocide. And I'm going to ask the question. Do you believe that there's really an agenda out there to population control the African-American people in this country? They're working on the older African-American men, doing everything they can to send us to prison. They are working on the younger African-American boys to teach the fact that there's nothing wrong with being homosexual or bisexual. Is there some truth to that? Do you believe that there's some truth to that? Because I'm trying to figure out why that there's laws being passed to force school systems to teach the lifestyle of homosexuality to young African-American children in the public school system. Right here, part of this article also says, Wolf's ruling is every parent's nightmare. You damn right. It goes to extraordinary lengths to legitimize and reinforce the right of schools to normalize homosexual behavior to even the youngest of children, said a statement from a pro-family group. Massachusetts, this was way back in 2007. Did you hear about it? Was this a... Ooh, I almost said the F word. Was this an article posting on any BET channel? Was this was Al Sharpton and them marching against this? You get what I'm talking about? Do you get what I'm talking about here? All this soft genocide stuff is going on, and we don't hear about this stuff. We don't hear about this stuff. What reason do they have to teach students in the public school system the lifestyle of being gay? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And I know I was a product of public schools, and I can remember when we took sex education. Oh, trust and believe, when I got done with sex education, I was ready to find every female I could find who was really to experiment. So if you sit up there teaching it's okay to be gay, how many kids out there you think is be ready to experiment? See how they're doing this? You see how they're doing this? They are pushing these agendas. And guess what happens? If we got a whole bunch of, if we can raise, think about something. When you think about the African-American soft genocide and we're trying to control the African-American community, if we take away 10% of African-American men and send them to prison, so that's 10% of black men who are not in the family. I mean, that's not, you know, in the household, so they're not making any kids, okay? Then we can get another 10% who decided they want to switch over and be gay or be bisexual or whatever, okay? So now we had 20% of the African-American men gone, okay? And then we're going to take another 10% of African-American women who die who got AIDS from either the African-American man who came home from prison, the African-American man who's going back and forth. So now there goes 30% of our population gone. But 20% of our men are gone. And I'm just, those are just small numbers. It's probably more than that, but I'm just saying. Because just imagine if 10% of our community is gone due to prison, or deciding that they want to be on the down low, or they want to go back and forth between men and women, and there's still a percentage of, guess what, there's no kids being made. So guess what, there's 30% of our population gone that's not creating children, that's growing our race, that's growing our culture to move us forward. And I'm the conspiracy theorist. I'm the homophobe. Come on, man, give me a break. Let's get back into some more clips showing how they're going about destroying our African-American boys. I just talked about the public school system. That point alone is proof that we are so behind that we're not paying attention to what's going on. Like, once again, if they could pass laws to make them teach the homosexual lifestyle, please explain to me why we have not pushed laws to make them teach real, true African-American history.
As far as homosexuality goes, we have to understand that the movement to homosexualize black children, and particularly the males, began in 1972. The Rockefeller World Population Council, along with Planned Parenthood International, and yes, I'm talking about the same Planned Parenthood that was started by eugenicist Margaret Sanger to open up abortion clinics near the black community to reduce the black population. 85% of all Planned Parenthood abortion centers are located in satellite areas adjacent to the black community. In fact, it's been estimated that since the birth of Planned Parenthood in the 1900s, that black people have exterminated more than 3 million of their own children. When we hear these conversations about Hispanics taking over as the largest ethnic group, that's only because Hispanics tend not to kill their children as much as black people do. And the reason why we kill our children so often is because of the self-hate. But getting back to homosexuality, the Rockefeller World Population Council and Planned Parenthood decided that homosexuality must no longer be viewed as a mental disorder. Up until 1972, homosexuality was listed in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's the Bible of psychology and psychiatry. Everything we diagnose is in that book. And if you are a parent, you should have a copy of it. You can get it at any bookstore. It's a little silver book with blue letters, DSM-4, okay? And what they decided was that had to come out. Up until 1972, homosexuality was a mental disorder. At the American Psychiatric Convention in 72 or 73, the homosexuals were able to infiltrate the movement and was able to encourage the psychiatrists to vote to remove homosexuality from the list. So homosexuality has only been normal in America for about 35 years. Once they decided that homosexuality would no longer be abnormal, it was then decided that it would be pushed into the black public schools to control our population. In fact, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, in 1974, look at the dates, 72, Rockefeller World Population Council on Planned Parenthood said we got to change things. 73, they take it out of the DSM. It's no longer abnormal behavior. 74, Henry Kissinger in a national security memorandum said that we should consider homosexuality as a population control strategy in the black community. And that is right now, that's one of the reasons why President Obama's Secretary of Education from Chicago, Arne Duncan, is a supporter of homosexuality. In fact, the person who President Obama appointed as the Safe Schools and Drug-Free Schools Czar right now wants a mandatory kindergarten through 12th grade homosexual curriculum in every public school in America. Now, we know that homosexuality has roots in Greco-Roman philosophy and culture. Okay. Many of the Greek philosophers were homosexual. Many of the Roman philosophers were homosexual. Julius Caesar was homosexual. Napoleon was a homosexual. Most white psychologists teach that homosexuality is a natural adolescent male behavior, which is why I always encourage black parents, do not send your son to a white therapist or a black one unless you know their sexual orientation, because many of our children are getting psychotherapy from homosexuals who are propagating the lifestyle. Homosexuality is being pushed to exterminate the community. They make the boys gay. They inject them with HIV. They inject it into our systems while they're cohabitating, and that is why HIV is the number one killer of black women on the face of the earth. They're giving AIDS to the gay men, and we're giving it to our queens. Black population.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernethy. You're listening to Moving Forward. March 6, 2014, live broadcast from Richmond, Virginia. We are talking about the feminization of the black male. I'm bringing out facts tonight of what's going on in our community right now. An example of soft genocide. Because, once again, they're not slinging us up from trees anymore. They're not burning us at the stake anymore. But they are figuring out other ways to control the African-American population. And that's to break up the family. So now, I want you to, especially if you are 30 years and over, I want you to sit back and I want you to think, do you remember seeing so many soft acting young men, African American boys? Just think back. Just think about it for a second. Because I know I don't remember seeing so many young African-American boys walking around acting like little girls. I'm telling you, I saw a little boy the other day. He couldn't have been no more than 16. Do you guys remember that movie Poetic Justice with Janet Jackson? And she had those big braids. This young brother had these big braids in his head. Then he had them curled up in like a bun on the top of his head. Right? And I sit there and I saw the brother, and he's sitting there talking to some other little young girls. And then I started thinking to myself, I have talked to a lot of African-American women who support this gay agenda. So, my next question is, could that be another infiltration of them trying to control our population. Once again, they already separated us, divide and conquer, separated the black men and the black women with the welfare system. Now, do you think, like, if you had, like, say, for instance, African-American women who are a little bit more educated, maybe career women or whatever, but now it makes a rift between the African-American man who doesn't agree with this whole gay agenda and the black woman is like, you know what, you're being ignorant. So now guess what, it's more acceptable. So now it's more acceptable if your son comes home with skinny jeans on. It's more acceptable if your son comes home with his hair blonde. There's no male, any man who, any young teenage boy should not be walking around with colored hair. But is that another example of separation between the black man and the black woman? Because the black woman think that they're being liberated and up on current times and events, but she's not really taking the time to realize that's really another form that they're using in their soft. Genocide of our community. Just something to think about. Okay, let's get into these sagging pants. Remember when I told you guys about the example of the three brothers that saw walking up the street, and they were switching like little girls. I mean, they got their pants down so low, it's below their booty cheeks. So I'm going to talk about this sagging pants, but then I'm going to, like I said, just like a caller from Sunday said, well, when you tell the little boys to pull up their pants, what do you tell them next? Well, guess what? I got an answer. I'm going to teach these young brothers what you need to do after you pull your pants up. Now let's get into the history of these sagging pants.
Are you a part of the hip-hop generation? Do you walk with a swagger, sagging your pants down low? Do you even know where that comes from or what it means? Let's take it back. Did you know that the lynching of African-American males was once a celebrated tradition in America? During these brutal crimes, it was a common practice to cut off the genitals of the victims, which in many cases were young boys. Once the castration was complete, the African-American male's dead body would be publicly displayed with his pants hanging down low to show the world that his manhood had been taken. Now let's fast forward to the prison industry complex.
Inside an oppressive and noisy cell block called the Hole, prisoners of the cemetery forcibly let the young boys with homosexual talent.
Today in prison, when a man is raped by another male prisoner and made to be the girlfriend of that prisoner, he is forced to sag his pants, signifying that his manhood has been taken. Now, why did you say you sag your pants? Check this out. Traditionally, the African male has always been the protector, provider, and guide for his woman, family, community, and people. Unfortunately, today, too many black men disrespect the black woman, neglect his black children, and terrorize the black community. By sagging our pants, are we subconsciously telling the world that our manhood has been taken away from us? Just something to think about. This is...
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, listening to Moving Forward here on YaisaRadio.com. We about to get into this sagging pants conversation because... it is just totally out of hand. This is another one of those things that I hate to say it. I had to switch over and talk to my N-words. This is straight slave nigga mentality. I try to sugarcoat it, but it's straight slave nigga mentality. Bottom line, there's no other way of saying it. This is another thing that we have adapted from our slave masters, and we made it our own. In that clip, I just played an example of they used to pull the pants down and let them sag for the African-American men that they have castrated to show that they have taken his manhood. In the prison systems, They used to make the boys back old school world that they used to punk out and have them walk around their pants with their ass hanging out to prove that this man right here is my bitch. Okay. Now let's fast forward. I love the backside of a woman. I love seeing a woman wear a mini. I love watching a woman wear tight pants on her round, nice backside. So what makes a man walk around short? Let me tell you what that is. Tell you what that is. I'm about to tell you right. They call it in jail, easy access, baby.
I mean, why would you have your pants down if you don't want to show your butt?
You trying to show a sign or something?
I said, let me see your butt, let me squeeze you. Look, you ain't even got no ass. Get serious, you don't even have no ass. What are you sagging, man?
Right, did nobody say y'all could laugh?
I'm saying, don't listen, you know what they do to people that sag in jail? They stick their fingers down their butt. It's called easy access. You sag so I can get to you.
Turn around. I don't
want to
see.
Yeah, turn around. Look, you just profiling for me. You shaking and turning. Dog, you like that?
Yeah, I think there's a common thread.
Stick their fingers down your butt. Easy access. So, if you out right now and you are male, walk around with your ass hanging out, you might as well let somebody stick their finger down your butt. Because ain't nothing gangsta about that. There's nothing cool about that. You know, and this is a about this whole pants thing. I told you, those young brothers had their pants that they were switching back and forth like a woman. So I got a question. Imagine if you did that for 10 years. 10 years. After a while, you naturally are going to walk like that. So no longer walking straight up with your chest, man should, left foot in front of right. Side to side, you swinging your side to side, swinging your hips. This clip. This is a clip. My brother in prison.
I mean, why would you hang your pants down if you don't want to show your butt?
This clip.
I said, let me see your butt. Let me squeeze you. Look, you ain't even got no ass. Get serious. You don't even have
why
no
you
ass.
Want to show your
butt? What are you saying, man?
Right. Did nobody say y'all could laugh?
I'm saying, don't listen. You know what they do to people that sag in jail? Stick their fingers down their butt. They stick their fingers down their butt. It's called easy access. You sag so I can get to you.
Turn around.
Look, you just profiling
for me. You shaking and turning. Dog, you like that?
Shaking
yeah, I think
and
there's
turning. Come on, man. Skinny jeans or sagging your ass out. Skinny jeans, I'm going to tell you something. Don't no man need to wear no pants that's so tight that it shows your man print in the front of your pants. Okay. I'm just putting it out there, people. Ain't nobody talking about it. I'm putting it out there. Now, I'm going to have to play this clip. This clip, I'm letting you know right now, it is using some very harsh profanity. It uses some very harsh street terms. But, like I said, I have to reach all three of the groups. I got to reach my N-words out there. I got to reach my step and fetching house Negroes out there, and I got to reach my African Americans out there, because all of us, the whole purpose is to bring all of us to consciousness to bring all of us to move us forward. So all of us are African Americans, because all of us are kings and queens. It's just some of us right now, we just lost. Right now, some of us are 12 years a slave. Some of us are 50 years a slave. Some of us are 30 years a slave. But you can get your freedom from your slave master. You can get your freedom from your slave mind state. So I'm going to play this clip. It's by Eddie Griffin. He's a comedian, but I had to play this because this is, sometimes you got to get raw and dirty to prove a point, to get a message across. So if you cannot handle some harsh words of profanity, I suggest you put me on mute for the next 2 minutes. But I'm going to play this clip, and I'm going to tell you why after I play it.
So I'm sitting in this cage, you know, I'm educating the little brother, right? And the brother was sagging. And I said, hey, brother, let me explain something to you. You know, my hide done came off. And y'all know I get real cerebral when a nigga sober. I'm like, look, bro, I want to let you know where that sagging shit started. It started in the penitentiary area. The bags in there would sag to advertise their ass. They get out of jail, nigga, and they put the drawers on still sagging, but try to play like they men. The kids thought the shit was slick, and the kids start sagging. My son did that shit at age 16 years old. He's 25 now, Eddie Jr. I'm in the house, nigga. I'm a single father. I'm cooking Eddie spaghetti. So that's all fuck I know how to cook other than a hot dog. But I can fuck your spaghetti up, nigga. I'm making Italian move out of Italy up in this motherfucker. So, you know, I'm making my spaghetti. Junior walks in the door and he's sagging. Nigga, I put the shit on simmer. I said, Junior, grab a little seat right there on that bar stool. I go, what up, Pop? Oh, it's a lot up, nigga. And it's a lot down. I said, nigga, grab yourself a beer. I can drink. Today you can. That nigga sat down. I explained the story to him. I said, nigga, sagging started in the penitentiary area. Fags is advertising the crack of their ass. You sagging? Sagging is fagging. That nigga had on two bags. He was blowing like a motherfucker. That nigga walked through the house. I ain't no bitch. Now that's my little nigga. Let's put this flame back on.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Everett, at the Listen to MoveForHeroGuysRadio.com. Now, I played that with the vanity and harsh words because I'm trying to shock you. I'm trying to slap you in the face with the reality of what's going on in our community. There is no more time to turn the other cheek. There's no more time to march and pray for a better day. No, we have to take our position, and we have to take and get our young black boys back. We have to take and grow and make these young men into men. There's no time to be soft about it. There's no time to be, oh, it's going to be okay, he'll grow out of it. No, because guess what? We keep giving them ammo. That's what I talk about all the time. We give them ammo to use against us. Now think about this. If they're in the public school systems talking about teaching a gay agenda, where the hell were the parents at? Let me tell you where the parents are. Our parents are too busy at home watching Scandal. Now, then we also, or our other parents, our middle-class African-American parents, are too busy trying to agree with the system and go, oh, it's okay, but it's not okay. It's not okay, especially if there's no counter to this education, this teaching. Okay, and I'm going to show you how far this pan-sagging thing is gone, where I keep telling you guys about giving. So you think about you young each other. Because it was already part of their soft genocide agenda with the welfare programs, okay? With Malcolm, who hates yourself, can't get into a liquor bottle without ripping off the government label, but then you get drunk and then they lock you up for being a drunk. It's the same thing here. Now they about to lock you up for sagging your pants. If you've been sagging your pants for 3 or 4 years, that's all you know, till you go in the prison system with your ass hanging out, you about to be somebody's bitch.
You know what I love about pants? They stay where they're supposed to. Like when when you're walking, you don't have to, like, I want to see the ball. So the baggy pants thing, I've never gotten it. I'm not a fan of it.
You're not into it.
I'm Grandpa Jank, not at all interested.
Well, then you might want to take a stroll down to Terrebonne Parish in Tennessee. I'm sorry, in Louisiana.
Okay, all right.
Because they are trying to ban such clothing where you can see a little bit of the undies exposed.
Oh, that's so good. That's very American.
The ban was approved Wednesday and expected to be signed into law this week and targets the public wearing of pants and skirts that hang below the waist and expose the skin or undergarments. Violators will be slapped with fines, $50 for the first offense, $100 for the second, and $100 plus 16 hours of public service for each subsequent offense.
Okay, look, so I don't love the saggy pants. Do I want to create a law to tell you what to wear? What are we, Iran? Okay, what are we, Saudi Arabia?
Beautiful downtown Tehran.
And by the way, I mean, I don't know if they're Democrats or Republicans, and I know some of them are white, some of them are black that are passing this law. Now, there's a racial component to this because, you know,
hip-hop culture.
Right, exactly. So African-Americans happen to do it more, so they're going to get more prosecuted, have to pay more fines, et cetera. But mainly, I don't want big government telling me how to wear my pants.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you tell them, okay, you can't wear them low, at one point are they going to be like, hey, Grandpa Jack, stop pulling up your pants? Okay, leave my pants alone. Okay, shut up about my pants. And they're worried that the broad law is so broad that it might prevent carpenter's crack.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is not such a bad thing. You know, like, so when your plumber or your carpenter bends down and you see the crack?
Well, is your carpenter supposed to wear a onesie now when he goes to his job site? I mean, let the guy be comfortable.
I mean, what is a carpenter's crack for? Okay, so anyway, now look, we might not like seeing that. I don't think it should be illegal.
Outlawed. There's a couple of guys who agree with you. There's actually a member of the city council who said, look, I'm not a fan of the style, but I don't think the government should legislate style.
Yeah, it's the most obvious thing in the world, except we lost on this one.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just Terrebonne Parish, by the way. Shreveport has done it, Linwood, Collinsville, Illinois, Cocoa, Florida, they later repealed it, Albany, Georgia. This is a big deal. People are doing this everywhere. Can you imagine if they tried to do that in L.A.?
Okay. Well, wait till they get a little low on taxes, and then they want to give fines.
You're absolutely right.
But my favorite thing is the guy who thinks that this is part of the prison culture, and it's like a come on.
Yeah.
And so he's worried that this might promote sex. Okay, you've got to stop with that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, so in prisons, it doesn't come from prison culture. It might. It might, some of the, you know, stuff
urban
sag
legend, yeah.
In prison. Yeah, it might. It might be because they gave them the wrong size. That's much more likely. But it's not like a guy lowers his pants. This is the theory. Lowers his pants a little bit as an invite to another guy to take him from behind. No. There's no such invite in prison, okay? And if there is such an invite in prison, which is possible, it's not something that's cool and hip.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not arguing whether it should be cool or hip. I know it's not.
I think it generally means that somebody just got sold for a pack of cigarettes. I don't think that's like an evite. And then they say it's possibly happening because in prison, because you're a violent offender, you're suicidal, so they took your belt away, so that means you're, you know, more hardcore than the next guy. But either way, you just look like an idiot.
Nobody is sitting in the streets of, you know, whichever town in Louisiana thinking, I'd like to look suicidal, or perhaps invite other men to come up from behind and really give it to me.
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, listening to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Now, I'm going to show you how dangerous that clip was. I'm going to show you how that clip, like the first clip I played, Eddie Griffin, it was going straight to my slave mentality N-word. This clip is going to my Uncle Tom thinking Negroes. And I'm going to tell you why. This white guy just totally, totally dismissed the truth behind this. He just totally, like, made it seem like, you know, the prison system and these guys walk around with their ass out is a urban myth. But I just played a clip from a brother in prison telling another young brother, like, this is how it really goes down. But see, something like that is conditioning our people, our community, to go ahead, embrace, and hug and love this, once again, our souvenir from slavery. Okay, now let's get into this law for a second, because we're going back to policing us. And I'm going to break this down for a second, but check this out. The Sag and Pants Law target minorities. Sag and Pants Law violate the basic First Amendment rights of free speech and the liberty interest in expression. Clothing style is one of the most personal forms of expression. An individual's liberty interest is the basic right that falls under the same category as other liberties guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution, like stop and frisk and other so-called crime-fighting initiatives. Saggy Pants Law invites trouble. Based on a look, police target certain communities, usually the African-American community, even though people of all races wear pants that might fall under the legal what? Prohibitions, whatever that is. This racially based profiling leads to a whatever number of African Americans being stopped and searched unnecessarily, which in turn leads to an unnecessary arrest for questionable minor offenses. The fact is that no link has been found between wearing saggy pants and increasing crime or threat in the public safety, but clothing has become a pretext to stop and search people for other things. Okay, I totally disagree with that. I totally disagree with that, like I disagree with 12 Years a Slave, and I'm going to tell you why. This is not attack on minorities. See, this is where our Uncle Tom Negroes come into play. We're going to scream and call racism for everything. We should not be defending our young men walk around with their asses out. Should not let this get to the point where the government has to come in and police and criminalize us walk around with our asses out. But this is one of those distractions I'm talking about when it comes to this soft genocide. Because now we are going to fight some, oh, this is racist. This is not racist. This is the perfect example of, guess what? We have found something else that they have attached to from their slave master. Now we're going to criminalize this so we can continue on with our agenda to control the black population. You know the argument should be about this law? Quit giving them the ammo to make laws like this, just like I've seen about the NFL. You don't need for them to make a law for you guys to stop calling each other nigga. Stop doing it. Police yourself. This is an example. Do you guys know what a gig line is? If you don't know what a gig line is, this is how you help our young brothers pull their pants up. You know, like they say all the time, you can sit there and tell me something without solutions. So now I'm about to tell you the solution right here to you want to walk tall and look like a man and not be considered a feminized young black male. You get dressed every morning, make sure you have a gig line. This is what a gig line is. A gig line is a military term that refers to the alignment of the seam of your shirt, your belt buckle, and your trousers, fly seam. In order to be properly dressed, listen to me, in order to be properly dressed, this is these three should be aligned to form a straight line down the front of your personal body. This is the type of stuff we need to be teaching our community. So if you out there, don't be just telling, pull your pants up, boy, pull your pants up. You can't teach somebody something if you don't have them an alternative your lesson. So what I'm saying to all my young brothers out there is walk around with their pants sagging, like I said, with your ass out, getting ready for somebody to stick their finger in your butt, pull your pants up, and get you a gig line. If you want to know what a gig line looks like, I will post it on Geyser tomorrow. Or you Google it, it's gig line, G-I-G-L-I-N-E. That's how you dress. When you dress like that, guess what? Your pants are up where they're supposed to be. Then you walk straight, left foot in front of right foot, left foot in front of right foot. You're not switching side to side, switching your tailbone like a female. Then you walk with your chest out in pride. You walk with your chest out like the king that you are. Only person who gives you value in this world is yourself. When you take some self-pride in yourself and you realize that you're the king that you are, you can do whatever you want to be. But if you continue to walk around and continue to grab onto the slave master souvenirs, you're going to be always considered a nigga. And you're not a nigga. You're not a nigger. You are a king. You are a man. You are a man that needs to be a husband, to be a father, to be a leader, to be the king of your household. Okay, my sisters out there, y'all have to quit letting these brothers do this. If you call yourself having a boyfriend, look at your boyfriend and say, babe, you'll look so more handsome to me if you pull your pants up. Look in the mirror every morning, make sure your gig line is straight. Ladies, that's your mission too. If you got a boyfriend, he's walking around his pants sagging. Show him that he's the king that he is and say, babe, you'll look so much like the king that you are if you pull your pants up and stick your chest out and walk like the man and the king that you are. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm taking a break, and I'll be back in a second. You listen to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com.
Masterminds. We're going to get this album. You know, whenever we link up, they think we should come from outer space or something. Let's get this money. Mastermind. ROC. Double MG. Jay, I got it. Four stacks for the hills on my feet. Car seat still smelling like 10 keys. Tell a plug that I'm looking for an increase. Wingstar fat boy, need a 10 piece. Say I say a name in the car star. Switching lane to lane like Walmart.
What's up, man? Dwayne Abernathy. It's Moving Forward here at GeyserRadio.com. I had to cut that break short because we only have 10 minutes left, but there's another point that I had to get in real quick. I'm going to say some names to you guys, and I'm going to tell you what you think these guys have in common. Chris Rock, Jamie Foxx, Chris Tucker, Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, Wesley Snipes, Flip Wilson, Damon Wayans, Marlon and Sean Wayans. Well, Hollywood told them they had to put on the dress in order to be successful.
It's like when I see that they put every black man in the movies in a dress at some point in their career, I'll be connecting them. They're like, why all these brothers don't wear a dress? This happened to me. I'm doing a movie with Martin.
Yeah.
The movie's doing good. So I walk in a trailer. I'm like, man, this must be the wrong trailer because there's a dress in here. They come in. The writer comes in. I think he's the writer. He's like, Dave, listen, he got this hilarious scene where Martin's sneaking out of jail. So he disguises you as a prostitute. And he put this dress on. And, huh? What? The cop says, nah, I'm not doing that. I don't feel comfortable with that. That should have been in the discussion. What? You don't feel comfortable with it. I mean, it's a hilarious bit. All the greats have done it. So, well, if all the greats have done it, it's kind of hacky, right? You're right. So why don't we just not do it? Because I don't feel comfortable wearing a dress. Oh, come on, Dave. Listen, we got it all set up. We're supposed to shoot. Every minute you waste costs this much money. You know, the pressure comes in. I'm not wearing no dress, man. I'm funnier than a dress. Just give me something funny to say. I don't need to wear no dress to be funny. Am I Milton Berle? You know, we're going like this. And then finally he's like, and he leaves, and then like the director comes, Dave, it really would be great if you wear the dress. What is wrong? What is this, Brokeback Mountain in here? And then, I wear the dress. I don't want to wear the dress. I want to wear this dress. You know what I mean? Oh, gosh, that's so difficult. They leave. Now the producers come on, David, would be so great. I mean, and then I started thinking about it. All the comics that I've seen, man, you know, strong brothers, why are they putting us in these dresses? But the minute it was clear, I was adamant, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm not wearing a dress. All right, fine. Think of something else. Guy comes back 10 minutes later, the whole new scene, damn, how did you write the scene so fast? You know, it's like, so, you gotta take a stand.
Dress on, nigga. Now it's playing. What's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne. I'm going to listen to Moving Forward Hero, you guys. Solutions. Soft genocide. Let's get into it. Number one. Parents. Single parents. Parents with a husband in the house. Our own children. So if your child goes to school 5 days a week, come home, do your homework, 4 hours, 2 hours on Saturday, 2 hours on Sunday, we need to sit down and have education. Start teaching our kids our culture. Keep teaching our kids that they are the kings and queens they are. And there is nothing wrong with teaching our little boys to let them know that liking other boys is not your third option. Little boys are supposed to like girls, and girls are supposed to like boy. It is what it is. I don't give a damn what they say on the news. I don't give a damn what our president say. Little boys are not supposed to be taught that they have the option to either be with a boy or a girl. Okay. Number two, sagging pants. Gig line. We have to lead by example. Example, if you have a bunch of homies and you are more the follow your group, you start the trend, pull your pants up, get your gig line, and now guess what? You fresh to death. Take pride in yourself. Understand the fact that you're not a man walking around with your ass out. You're not a man walking side to side swinging your hips. A man walks once forward, one step forward, left foot in front of right foot in front of left foot, with his chest out, have pride. If you don't know what a gig line is, you go to Yizer tomorrow, you will see what a gig line is or Google it. All right, number three, females out there, stop taking care of these men. Stop taking care of these men. He needs to be taking care of you. At the same time, you females out there who have sons, stop babying these boys. Stop babying these boys and stop supporting and saying that gay is okay. It's not. It's not. If you gay, you gay. Okay, whatever. But it doesn't mean that it has to be taught. Don't teach gay is cool. Okay? Get in touch with this soft genocide that's going on in our community. Educate yourself. Do what you have to do to get back to the point of building kings in our communities. We have enough queens. We don't need no more queens. Okay? Number four, I believe, estrogen. Black men, change your diet. Stop eating so much food that has so much estrogen in there. Don't you know if you eat a lot of estrogen, you start taking on female characteristics. You start growing man boobs, all that type of stuff, your body gets soft, you start gaining weight or whatever. Have you noticed there's men walking around with hips now? That's because of their diet. Change our diet. Stop eating the slave food. Start eating better and get the estrogen out your diets. Okay, I'm out. I will see you guys on Sunday. Like I tell you guys all the time, knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. Please log on to Yizer.com tomorrow. That's Y-I-Z. It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm out. Thank you guys for all your support. And once again, I'm not trying to bash the gays. I'm just trying to get our kings back. Remember, 30%, 10% in prison, 10% gay, 10% die of AIDS. Guess where? There's 30% of our population gone. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm out.
What you say now? Tell me what you say, come again. If you cannot stay down, then you do not have to pretend like there is no way out. I should've never let you in, 'cause you got me face down. Don't take this personal. You're the worst, you know what you've done to me. And although it hurts, I know that you would come again. You said that we would remain friends, but you know that I do not depend on nothing or no one. So why would you show up so uninvited? Just change my mind like that. Please don't take this personal. But you ain't true. You weren't special till I made you so. You better act like you know that I've been through worse than you. He one night some. I never listened though. I should've figured though. All this shit you was spitting so unoriginal. But it was you, so I was with it. Man, to tell you the truth, wish we never did it. 'Cause I usually do stick to the business. But you came out the blue, and then you just touched it. Baby, my mind's blown. Be forgetting you live in a different time zone. Think I know what this is, just the time's wrong. Yeah, I know what you did, but baby, I'm grown. And my love is patient and kind of. This is where we could build through different sizes. You was really the realest, wouldn't be fighting it. I think your pride is just in the way. Funny how everything changed. Once you got all that you wanted, nothing was ever the same. And though I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you, I still want you. Oh, I don't mean to, I don't mean to, I don't mean to, I don't mean to, but I love you. I don't mean to.